Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Next couple of services, look what the Bible said in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending conscience in the sight of God, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Know what he says. In verse number 1, he deals with fainting. And in verse number 3, he says, practically, here's what he's saying. If we faint, then our gospel is going to be hid to them that are lost. Go to verse number 16 for the sake of time. Over the next service or two, we'll probably look at each one of these verses individually, but through this chapter, but look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but watch this, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I want to preach to you today and tonight and possibly even next Sunday. We'll just see how the Lord leads. But on this thought of not fainting in the ministry, not fainting in the ministry. Father, we love you today, and I pray, God, that you would help us for just a little while. God, you know the need of this service, and I pray, Lord, that your divine will would be done. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use us today, guide our mind, guide our thoughts, God, guide our speech this morning, God. Lord, I pray, God, that every word that is said, God, will be ordained by you. God, help me to be a blessing to your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Verse number 1 says this. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received a mercy, we faint not. I looked up that word faint, and here's what I found when I began studying it out on Blue Letter Bible. It means this, to be utterly spiritless. It means to be wearied out. And it also means this, exhausted. It means to be exhausted. It means to be utterly spiritless. It means to be wearied out. And Paul says this to the church at Corinth. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We do not allow ourselves to become spiritless. We do not allow ourselves to be wearied out from the journey. I thought about what the Bible said also in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. It will be our theme verse for next year, but here's what it says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you study that word weary right there out in the Greek, you'll find that it is the exact same word as the word faint. It's the same word. It carries the same meaning. And you know what Paul is saying to us right here again? He's saying, let's not be weary in what God has called us to do. I began to think about this, and I looked at fainting. I looked it up, and here's what I found. Some of the leading causes of fainting is what causes physically, what causes people to faint. The very first thing that popped up was this, dehydration. In other words, not drinking enough water, dehydration. You know what I began to think about? I began to think about the Word of God. And you remember the book of Nehemiah and Nehemiah, those first few chapters, they're rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem and those gates that was set up around that wall. There was one gate that never fell. There was one gate that stood the whole time. And you know what? That gate, can I say it this way? That gate never fainted. Can I tell you what that gate was? It was the water gate. And you know what the water represents? It represents the Word of God. Let me tell you some of the things that will cause you to faint as a Christian today. Getting out of the Word of God. Dehydration, not exposing yourself to the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to get inside of you. David said this, "Thy Word," God's Word, our Bible, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Can I say something to you today? We need the Word of God on a daily basis in our life. I'll say it this way. I've got to have the Word of God on a daily basis in my life. If I don't, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to faint in what God put me in. Watch this, not only dehydration, but I found out something else. I found out, and these little things that Miss Leslie's put up here is really bothering me this morning, because usually I can lay that down and it don't stick up like that, and I'm having to come over here and it just don't look right and it's bothering me. All right, number two, you say, why does that bother you? Because I might be a little OCD over some things. But watch this, number two, not only dehydration, but what causes people to faint? Here's another thing that I found out causes people to faint. Heart conditions. Heart conditions will cause you to faint. Can I tell you something today, church? Hear me and hear me well. You better keep your heart in the right place or you'll faint in what God's got for you to do. Why do we do what we do today? I'll say more about this in just a minute. I don't do it for you. I do it for Him. Why do I read my Bible? Why do I need the water of God's Word every day? It's not for you. It's for Him. Why do I preach? Not for you, but for Him. Somebody give me an amen right there. Why do you teach Sunday school? It's not for those students. I understand that you are teaching them, but we do it to be pleasing to Christ. Our heart condition, if we get our heart going the wrong way, you know what? One of the things that this is just a pet peeve of mine. If you've ever listened to our podcast, What Now? Conversations for Life. If you've not, if you didn't listen this past Monday, you need to download that episode and listen to it on music. And this coming up tomorrow, we'll drop another episode on music. But anyway, I thought about this. Here's one of my pet peeves, and Brother Jonathan every once in a while will say it when we're recording podcasts, and we're fixing to probably add a third person to that, and you're going to love it if you follow that podcast. You just help us pray about that. Hopefully, we're going to know more about that after next Sunday. If everything goes as we're hoping it's going to go, there's going to be a third person put in. But anyway, that podcast is a conversation if you've not listened to it. It's not preaching, it's a conversation. And we talk about all different kinds of things. But anyway, Jonathan will say this every once in a while because he knows it's my pet peeve. I cannot stand to hear this statement. Oh, just trust your heart. Where's that at in the Bible? Just follow your heart. Where's that at in the Bible? It's nowhere in the Bible. But he does say, who can trust the heart? It's more, can I just put in low gap terms? It's more wickeder than anything. And a heart condition will cause you to faint in the service of God. You better keep your heart in the right place, and that's in tune with Jesus. And not everybody else, it's in tune with him. Watch this. Here's something else that I found causes people to faint. This is very interesting. Anxiety or a panic attack causes people to faint. You know, I began to think about that. What is anxiety today? Anxiety is fear. That's what anxiety is. Matter of fact, the biggest part of anxiety is triggered from fear of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. So that causes anxiety to build up and a panic attack to build up. And because of that, sometimes the heart rate can elevate. And before you know it, you got somebody that laid out. You ever experienced that, Brother Josh? You've got somebody that's laid out in the passenger seat of your car because their heart wasn't right with God. They got their eyes on everybody else and had a panic attack. I'm just picking, Miss Tanya. It was kind of funny, though, when it happened, though, wasn't it? She said it wasn't to her. What happens? Here's what happens. It's a fear. Well, what did the Bible say? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Can I tell you something? We allow fear to slip in our life, and there's a lot of people that will not do what God would have for them to do because of fear. It's a fear. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. Hear me and hear me well. There's a lot of things I know that I cannot do. I cannot preach. I cannot study the way that I need to. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And He enables us to do the ministry that He has called us to. This word ministry, He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this word ministry right here. No, He didn't say, therefore, seeing we have a minister. The words in your Bible are the way that they are for a reason. Let me tell you the reason He didn't put minister there, Brother Josh, because everybody is not a minister, but everybody has a ministry. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What is the word ministry right there? When you study it out, it's simply a service. It is a service. Every person in this room has a ministry. Has a ministry. I was thinking, some of these ladies, well, let me just back up and rephrase that. Don't nobody get mad right here. None of these ladies will ever stand behind the pulpit and preach a message. Are you with me? The majority of these ladies is not going to come out there to the new building and set up a table saw and rip a board. They're not going to pull a tape measure. And Brother Tim was talking about Miss Vicky measuring things and cutting boards for him on a project, and it was quite comical the other day. But they're probably not going to do that. Are you hearing me? But you know what happened? Brother Gray, yesterday we went down there and sat down around the table, and we sure eat some good food, didn't we? Let me tell you the reason why. They had a ministry just like we had a ministry. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it's a service to God. Every person in here, and I'm really building an introduction to get to where I want to go, but we all have a ministry. We all have a service. And because we have that service, I was thinking about this. I think sometimes God uses children in the church to put a smile on our face. I'll never forget one of the funniest moments in church history. Little Caden sitting back there, he's not little no more, but he was little then. I mean, he was like little, not been walking long then. And Jake was praying one Wednesday night. We had all come around the altar, and Jake was up here, and Jake had got hooked up praying. He had done got into hacking voice prayer. Oh, God, help the preacher tonight. Lord, you know what we need. Help him, good God. Done got it. I mean, he's letting it rip. And I heard this. I heard feet running. And I thought, what's that? So, being the good preacher I am, I opened my eyes, stuck my head out from around the pulpit, and here come Caden. He was a little bit. Here come Caden running just as hard as he could run. And Jake was bowed right there. I'm telling you, you that was here understands why. He was praying a hole in the sky, man. Caden got right up there to him and went, smacked him about three times right there in the face. He said, hey, boy. Jake never missed a beat. Oh, God, help us tonight. And then he done it again, pop, 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 about four or five times like that. He said, hey, boy, what are you doing? Jake kept praying. I think it was missing that. Scooped him up in the midst of action. You know what that little boy's ministry was that night? Put a smile on the preacher's face. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. Now, know what he's, it's a service. That's what that is. Know what Paul's here. I'm going to give you three little points right here. Number one, there's Paul's realization. Paul's realization. He said, therefore seeing. Somebody tell me the next word in that verse. Okay, now. Everybody say it together. Therefore seeing we have this ministry. What else does it say? Have. Keep reading it. Daily help a preacher. Therefore seeing we have this ministry. As we have received mercy. Wait a minute, say it again. Say it real loud. What did he say? We have a ministry and we faint not. Paul's realization was this. Paul has come to a place in his ministry where he realizes it's not his ministry. It's our ministry. Can I say something to you today? Nowhere in we is there an I. Nowhere in team is there an I. I thought Friday and Saturday, all week's been big weeks, but Friday and Saturday, or all week is, all every day this week's been a big day. But Friday and Saturday, was really pushing for big days. And Friday morning, the electrician rolled in early. Brother Tim Walker was here early, and I met with him, and then Brother Brandon came. Brother Brandon Ford and his crew was just such a huge blessing the past 2 days to us, helping us rough in everything. They donated all of their time, drove all the way from Franklin, North Carolina here. Anyway, Brother Brandon walked up to me, and here's what he said. He said, preacher, he said, there's two or three things right here about a data port. And I said, a what? He said, a data port, and I said, where at? And he said, up at the platform. I said, why do I need a data port up at the platform? And he said, I'm just asking you, where does those need to go? How do they need to be? And he said, on the platform, and at this point we hadn't built the platform. It was at this point we realized we needed to build the platform, and we did Friday. It's pretty amazing to see it all go together the way it did. But anyway, it was at that point, he said, we've got to put electrical here, here. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I think they actually might also need to be electrical where the monitors are going to sit at. And I said, hold on a minute. Well, that morning, God just worked it out. Coincidentally, Brother Matt and Brother Tim, that is, Brother Tim is a guru, and Brother Matt is a plumber, but God put them together and give them both the knowledge of sound and audio and video equipment. Brother Kevin Kemp is hard to get on the phone. But just coincidentally, Brother Kevin, that helps install all of our sound stuff that we support as a missionary, answered the phone. And you know what happened there in just about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, Brother Tim, with Brother Kevin on the phone and Brother Matt standing there, was able to lay out everything the way it needed to be on the platform, was able to decide that this that's going to run this amp, and this amp needs to be what they called a home run. I was like, they started talking about that, and I said, Brother Stan, you remember that night I hit at the ballpark that night when we was playing church league softball? He said, oh, yeah. He said, you got to third base, and I was going stop, and you kept going. I said, yeah, I turned the afterburners on and slid into home. Infield home run, right there. They said they're going to run a home run back to there. That way it's got this and this and this. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. For all of that to transpire the way it did, everybody had to be where they needed to be. And God put them where they needed to be. But now let me say something. They had a choice that they could have made to not show up. And I can talk about those two men. They're not going to get mad at me and throw me out of the church, I don't think. They was here when God needed them here. They done what God needed them to do. And you know what happened? We took care of what needed to be taken care of. Paul says, we have this ministry. We have this ministry. I walked by this morning. I normally teach Sunday school every Sunday morning. I texted my Sunday school class last night and I said, listen, I'm going to be as honest as I can be with you. And in our Sunday school class, it's one thing that we said from the very beginning. We're all honest with each other. We talk about a lot of things, and we let our guards down, and we're honest with each other. I said, honesty is this. I've not had time to study for Sunday school this week like I needed to. It's been a huge week on the building. I wish I had time to tell you how God lined everything. I've never been more thankful for rain than I was this week. And you say, why? You just, if you know, you know. God just put everything, it was just amazing. But I said this. I said, I need you to go to another Sunday school class this morning. I'm just not ready to teach. So this morning, during the middle of Sunday school, I got up and I walked back and I looked through the glass in the nursery. And you know what? I looked and there were some teachers able to go teach this morning and be a blessing to kids this morning, because Miss Michaela and Miss Jamie had the kids in the nursery. You know what? On the next track that goes out from the church is probably not going to be a picture inside there of that nursery with those ladies, and all of them sitting around their little round table serving them Cheerios. And I stood there and tears swept up my eyes watching all those kids sitting around. Those kids couldn't be in there if there wasn't an adult in there watching those kids. I walked through the hallways and I opened the doors and I looked at every one of the classrooms, because Brother Heath used to always check on all the classes, and we know he's filling in at a church and looking at pastor. And so I tried to go by and I tried to check on him. You know what I thought? All of them little kids in Miss Rhonda and Miss Tina's class, that's my favorite class. They're the only ones that run up to me and hug me anymore. I opened the door and Graylin jumped out of her seat, and then it was a chain reaction. They come running over there and I hugged their necks. You know the reason they was able to sit in there and color this morning? Because somebody was willing to go in there and teach them. So, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Amazing Grace is not Jonathan Barker. Amazing Grace is not Robert Pott. Amazing Grace is not Julia Shelton or Gloria Martin. Let me tell you what Amazing Grace is. Look around. We have this ministry. Everything that's going on, it's us this morning. What did he say? He said this, and let us not be weary in well doing. Paul realizes that in order to get things done, it's not just him that's doing it. And I want to, if I don't get anything else said this morning, I want you to understand this. We're all on the same team. We got to understand every team has a captain, every team has a manager. Do we need to go through the dynamics of a team? There's got to be a head. There's got to be somebody that's over it. There's got to be somebody that steps up and says, well, you know what? Since there's a few different opinions on this, let's just bring it all together. Here's your two opinions. Here's your two choices. You choose 10, 30, or 2. And whatever you choose, then that's what we'll do. You want me to tell you the reason why? Because we're one big church. And you know what? If you wanted it at 2 and it ends at 10:30, or if you wanted it at 10:30 and it ends in 2, don't get mad at the person that voted at 10:30. It's us. You know what? There's several things. I can take you and show you things that I would change in that building if I was the one doing it. There's two or three things. You say, well, what do you, it don't matter. Let me tell you the reason why. Because at the end of the day, it's all for His glory. He said, therefore, His realization. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Do you see that? We. He two different times, we. What did He say? What did He say in verse 16? Here's what He said. For which cause we faint not. Paul's realization. I'm going to give you this one other point. And if you will, come start playing softly. See, y'all thought we weren't going to have choir and we're going to get out early. I just added 15 minutes to my message. Watch this. I'm done. I'm not done. I'm going to stop and hook back up tonight. Therefore, seeing we, His realization, it's us. It's us. Me and Brother Brian was talking, a lot of people don't know this about Brother Brian, but Brother Brian's got a very dominant leadership role where he works at. And we was talking the other day about people. If you ever figure people out, write a book, but by the time you're done, it will need to be edited. You'll never figure people out. And I told him, I said, here's one thing that I have found challenging. And I pick his mind about things sometimes, because don't nobody tell him I'm saying this, but he's very smart. It's finding where somebody can bloom at. Not everybody can bloom. Not everybody is a Sunday school teacher. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm just being honest. Not everybody is a Sunday school teacher. They don't have the personality for it. They don't have the patience for it. It takes patience. You ought to see them students I teach on Sunday morning. It takes a lot of patience. Ain't that right, Kayla? But you know what? They're somewhere else. And it's the challenge of finding, where do they bloom at, Brother Josh? What is an area? And I want to say something. Find your area and bloom in it. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now look what he says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. As we have received mercy. There's his realization, but there's his receiving. He said, the reason that I have a ministry, watch this, is because I received mercy. And this is when we close our Bibles, we put them way up in the air, and we start waving them and crying. We have a ministry because we received mercy. We have a ministry today because God, who is loving, chose to look beyond our faults, chose to look beyond our failures, chose to look beyond our mistakes, and decided to show us mercy one day. We should be in hell with our back broke. Now everybody might as well holler amen and help the preacher, and we'll still beat the Methodists to the steakhouse, all right? Help me and we'll get done. We, every one of us, ought to be in hell today. We do not deserve anything, but the reason we do have a ministry, it's because the mercies of God. The reason we are able to build, it's because of the mercies of God. The reason we are able to do what we do, it's all because of the mercies of God. It's nothing good that I have done, for my righteousness is as nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. But he that knew no sin became sin, so that I could be made the righteousness of God through the darling Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I have a ministry because of my Master showing me mercy. That's why I have a ministry today. And when we realize that we're all on the same team, and that we have received mercy, then it will cause us to faint not. You see, the product of our fainting in verse number 3, and I'll deal with this, is the gospel will be hid to them that are lost. That's what he said in verse number 3. The gospel will be hid. If you come to church for somebody, you'll not stay in church long. If you come to church for me, you'll not stay in church long. If I come to church for you, I'll not stay in church long. Let me tell you the reason why. We're going to find differences with each other. We're human. We're not always going to agree on something. We're going to do things different ways. Are you here? We're going to do things different ways. These 3 or 4 times this week, this is the A number one glue man. Is that right, Brother Stan? But when he started laying glue the other night, I was watching Caleb back there. This is big Caleb, medium Caleb, and then little Caleb's out in youth church. But I was watching big Caleb watch little or medium Caleb, and I was like, nope, that ain't the way big Caleb wants that put down. And the reason I know that is because we done laid all that subfloor up there, And if you think anybody in this world is OCD, spend 2 minutes with Big Caleb back there. He's like, man, that board is a 32nd too long. I'm like, man, that saw blade's a quarter inch wide. Well, we got to change it. I got tickled at him and his daddy this week. His daddy looked at him one time and he said, we're framing. He said, yep, and it's a church and this is the way it's going to be. So you know what we done? We done it that way. But you know what happened? I watched Big Caleb come alongside of Medium Caleb. We got too many Calebs around here. But don't go nowhere. We won't keep you. And before it was all said and done, Brother Brian, he had him doing the glue like he wanted it. Now, one of two things could have happened. He could have got mad and argued with him and said he was wrong, even though he does that for a living. He could have got mad at him and kicked him out. Or they could work together and learn the best way to do it and be sitting in church together on Sunday morning. You know what happens so many times in churches? We have this ministry. People get to thinking that I have this ministry. And there's going to be differences. There's going to be times we don't agree. There's going to be times that we hit heads. I've always said this, we can butt heads all we want to, and at the end of the day, I'm going to shake your hand, hug your neck, and go eat a cheeseburger with you. Leave it where it's at. Grudges. Man, you need to get right with God if you got one. That's just the Bible this morning. We have this ministry, church. Look at what God is doing, and it's all because we have received mercy from the hand of Him. And if the devil could get in here right now and cause some people to faint and walk away, that's what he wants to do. I'll give you this challenge. Let's just keep our ministry going. I know it's God's, but understand what I'm saying. Let's find our place. Where is our place? Let's find our place and let's be there. Seeing, therefore, we have this ministry. I promise you I'm done. I'm trying to give you my heart this morning. This week, we was putting 3/4 inch tongue groove plyboard up to the second floor of the mechanical room where all the air handlers are going to go. And Brother Tim and Brother Mark over there, they's carrying it over and standing it up on the wall. And I'd pick it up off the wall. It took two of them to carry it over to me, and then I'd pick it up off the wall. I'd push it up, and son, I still can't about walk. One day I'm going to learn. I ain't as young as I used to be. I'd push it up, Brother Matt. You just let it right up the wall. You wasn't lifting the whole thing. You let it right up the wall. Whenever he'd get up close to the top of the floor joist, Brother Caleb back there would grab it. He'd do like this, and then he'd do like this. He'd swing it. And when it came up, Brother Sean sitting there would grab it and catch it, and they'd lay it down. Brother Tim would bring another piece over. Him and Brother Mark, I'd grab it. I'd push it up. Brother Caleb would grab it and swing it. Throw it around, Brother Sean, grab it, and they'd take it over and lay it down. I'd grab another piece. We'd done that for about 7.5 hours, it felt like. Slide it up. You should preach what he's saying. There's no way I could have got that piece of plyboard, picked it up, took it over there, put it on top of the 9-foot wall by myself. Now, I could have laid it on a lift, but I'd have had to have an assistance. The thing is this, it takes us all, church. We have this ministry. We, come be part of we. Let's do this. Our gospel is going to be hid to them that are lost if we faint, Brother Corey. I don't know if it makes any sense to you or not. But when I realize that it's all of us, and I realize that the receiving of mercy is the reason I get to do what I do, I love you, Brother Robert, but I'm not doing it for you. I don't say this bragging. I didn't put 60, 65 hours this week in that building working for you. And I didn't do it working for me. Be real honest. I'd just soon me and Olivia been sitting up there on the side of the mountain in a deer stand eating chocolate muffins, drinking Mountain Dew, enjoying time with my little girl that's growing up as they've been over there. Let me tell you the reason I did it. Because July 20th, 1994, I received mercy from the hand of the Master. That's why I do what I do. I do it for Him.